here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, Sam Monjovi, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us, and very glad in some respects to be back from vacation in Hawaii. It was amazing. We'll talk a bit about that because there was some soccer things going on in Hawaii I want to discuss. And we'll also be discussing the Major Indoor Soccer League, Major League Soccer, International Soccer, all over the globe tonight on our show. Our special guests are Rochester Lancers defender, indoor soccer legend John Ball, and the purveyor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigold.com, former NASL Rochester Lancers writer Michael Lewis. We'll have Dick Howard on the show, all the latest of the world of soccer and what's going on with the CONCACAF Champions League match coming up next Wednesday versus the Galaxy against Toronto FC. And we'll be hearing in just a moment from the host of the show, Joe Sirianni. Right now, let's bring in the person who ably hosted the show for the 2 weeks that I was on vacation, Sam Monjovi. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, Andrew. Very glad to have you back. We missed you very much. I had fun those 2 weeks, but I got to tell you, I'm very glad to have you back and sit back and enjoy you in control of the show.
Well, somewhat in control, I guess. But we'll still see how that goes. But it was a great trip. And before we go any further, let's bring in the host of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass from Miami, Florida, Joe Sirianni. And Joe's appearance, this segment brought to you by Dental Dr. Olivo, David Olivo of Gates. Number to call is 328-3382, and his website is davidolivodds.com, and Joe and I can personally vouch for Dr. Olivo and his staff. We both use him as a dentist, and Joe, I know that I'm sure you can't wait for your next visit to Dr. Olivo.
Well, let me tell you one thing, Andrew, with all the food that I've been eating, all the places I've been going, by the time I come back, I'm going to have a thorough cleaning of my teeth. So I guess where I'm going to go first, Dr. Olivo, which they do a magnificent job, and we are so glad that he's part of our family of Soccer Kick in the Grass program.
Well, I want to talk just real quick about the amazing trip to Hawaii. Now, Joe, when you went there in 77, it was a lot of rain, I guess, while you were there when the Lancers played the Team Hawaii side and got pounded 4-1. That was at Aloha Stadium, which is still going strong. As a matter of fact, I just missed the first ever Hawaiian Islands Invitational, a great tournament that featured the 2010 MLS champion Colorado Rapids with former Rhino Scott Palguta. There was also Melbourne Heart, the new Melbourne side from the A-League in Australia, Yokohama FC from the J-League in Japan, and E Park Busan from Korea, who ended up winning the four-team tournament. But I tell you, Joe, they had big crowds there, over 10,000 fans, because you don't get a lot of top-level soccer in Hawaii anymore. So it was bringing in those four teams from the four countries that supply most of the tourism to Hawaii was a treat. And I got to tell you a quick story about the E Park Busan team, but I'll let you talk about the Lancers in Hawaii when you went there in 77.
Well, you know, when we went there in 77, was a memorable trip to start with from us going to Hawaii the first time. And they bring so many memories in the plane to start with the Vasilich and Mike Stojanovic. and the car playing and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, the, those are memories that are going to live forever. But the reality of the thing that when we played in the rain and there was a really bad game on our part, and we got pounded, but, you know, there was a memorable thing for me because I almost had to come home because I brought one of our players over there that wasn't fit, and when we went to do the the warm up, the guy came to me and he says, "I really can't run," and Popovich almost killed me because he had asked me about it, and the guy, the player that goes, that should go nameless, he assured me that he was feeling good, and of course you got to trust him. But those are some of the memories that I have from Hawaii. Aside the fact that it was the first time that I ever been there, and you know, it was wonderful.
It but didn't rain hardly at all when I was there. It was a lot of really good weather, except when you went up into the mountains. That's where there's a little bit of rain. It always rains up in the mountains. But one of the story I want to mention, that my wife and I were driving, and we were driving down on the southeastern part of Hawaii, and there's a famous tourist attraction called the Haiku Steps. Basically, it's 1,000 steps going up to the top of a relatively large mountain. And so we're driving past there, and all of a sudden I see these young men in track suits. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's about 10 or 15 of them, or 20. And I said, is this possibly the Korean team that came in for this tournament? So at the very tail end, the coaches were there. So it's like, yes, it was. They climbed the Haiku Steps, 1,000 steps, as part of their training for this tournament, and they ended up winning the whole thing. So if you ever say about soccer players, they're the most fit athletes in the world. There's nobody that can compare to soccer players because they will run and run all day, all night, and they never get tired.
I remember, Andrew, coincidentally, that in the Lancers Day, with the many coaches, when we were training at Aquarius Stadium, at that time, I remember that we had the bleachers, similar, you know, like benches, and one of the drills that they did for the players to run up and down those steps, you know, maybe four or five times, you know, at a time. So, you know, they're climb the mountain or climb those steps is really does good for the cardio of the players. So, but let me just go before I go any further, is that I'd like to thank my nephew Sam Manjovi and Joe Giuliano and Brett West, I think it is.
Yeah, Joe Giuliano and Brett Daly.
Brett Daly. For you know what they did to cover for us while we were away, and they did a fantastic job. And you and I better watch out because we're going to be out of a job.
No. I'm telling you, I'm very glad Andrew's back, and that was a lot of fun. And I'm really thankful for Joe Giuliano helping out that day, and then Brett Daly the next week. But I forgot how much work, and I give Andrew and you a lot of credit because I think people realize it's, you got a lot of work to do shows like this and get these things set up and, you know, have all the information up to date and everything. So I'm glad for you guys that you've been doing the show all these years and keeping it going. And I was lucky enough to jump in and have fun for a couple of weeks.
We're going on 20 years, and you know, and we're moving and getting stronger and stronger. Thanks to you, in particular. Now we're in the national scene with Budur and Soccer America. They picked up the show, and you know we're getting famous right by the day.
Well, I'm sure, Joe, you're going to be more famous when you talk about the huge match that happened on Saturday. Everyone, all Italian fans, were watching, and it just seems that it's not just England where we have controversial decisions, but it certainly happened in Italy on Saturday when Milan and Juve end up playing to a one-all tie, which means Milan is still 1 point up on Juve, and Juve is still undefeated, but a huge controversial decision in the end of that match.
But don't forget, Juve's got a game on hand. The reality of the thing, Andrew, is that, here we go again with the referee. the referee allowed the game to, he lost control of the game, and then he tried to regain control. I do hardly believe that Milan was the best team, especially in the first half. I did watch the ball go over the net.
That's the controversy, that Milan scored a goal late in the match, but it was not allowed. It was basically, they said the ball had not crossed the line, and Buffon went behind him and pulled the ball in. The ball clearly had crossed the line, but it was not given as a goal.
The reality of the thing, that the action was so fast, because originally Buffon saved the shot really low by diving to his left. And the ball went back into the crowd of players over there. And somehow one of the Milan players lifted the ball up in the air, and the ball, the ball was heading into the net, which was a goal. But the action was so fast that I don't think that the linesman, which was in the right position to see the ball over, I don't think that he didn't see it, and Buffon really fast he put the ball into play, and that's the way it went. So it's but then things got even because Matri was taken. It was not given a goal, so I think that the 1-1 tie was a fair game.
Now, if that was a Champions League game, they would have that fifth referee right behind the goal there.
Possibly.
Well, there is so much. There's so many idea on what to do, what not to do, and before the game's 100 years old, and has been doing fine all the years. It is a consequence of instant replay that we experience all these things. The reality is that if we ever to implement whatever rules they're going to implement, and then pretty soon they're going to have to implement a rule about the offside, and then have to stop and see if a guy was offside. So the reality is that
Platini, and I think he's up next when Blatter retires to head FIFA, and he said more than once recently that he's against the goal line technology, but he's for maybe a fifth referee.
Yeah, that's what I've said, Sam. I think there should be more officials. There should be four assistant referees, so each one covers one quarter of the field, from sideline to sideline, and goal judges behind the goals. I think it's ridiculous at this level of play that we have with these tremendous athletes that one referee controls the game. It should be two referees at this point. I think that's a move that is well overdue because, again, what do you do about the replay? Soccer is not like rugby where there was a huge match on the weekend, Wales against England, where it was in the Six Nations tournament. England scored a try at the very end of the match that was controversial. They went up to the replay booth. It took about 5 to 10 minutes, and they finally ruled it wasn't a try, so Wales ended up winning the match. But you can't do that in soccer. You can't have a stoppage like that. So, again, I think what you have to do is have more officials, more eyes on what's going on.
Andrew, let me tell you this. Just like I said, this soccer has played worldwide. It's not football, it's not rugby. That are limited to a few countries, okay? And the reality of the thing that a football game, the American football, it lasts for hours and hours and hours before they go with the commercial and the stoppage and this and that. And so soccer has been in existence for hundreds of years. Now all of a sudden we are faced with, you just said that, we have more technical players, we have more valuable players, we have this and we have that. Kelly doesn't think the soccer is soccer. It's just what should be done on athletes that are faking. Those athletes, they don't play the game the way it was played before. All the trickery that they do. And then the game becomes, again, the beautiful game. Because the game is, it's orchestrated. It's just a beautiful game that it flows. But now you got the tremendous power. They got the from behind. they got this, they got that. So all these things existed before, but it was never to the epidome that has been done right now because of television. You know, and those guys that are making, you know, if you watch the Italian channel right now, tonight, they got Domenica Sportiva, they call it. Every darn move that players make, they stop the camera measure. They a slow motion. I mean, the game. You know, you're right. You got one referee that runs and covers. Got two assistants that they're supposed to communicate with him. You got already six eyes watching 22 players. And the reality of the thing is that, you know, there is a lot of the referees that let the play go and they lose control of the game, just like it happened at the Juventus and Milan game. And, you know, but the reality, we're all human. We all make mistakes, you know. And the reality of the thing is that when you look at players that shoot on goal and they miss and millions of dollars to shoot on goal and they go wide and they... I mean, everybody makes mistakes. And unfortunately,
I never thought I'd hear you sticking up for referees, but we got to run, Joe. We got Dick coming up in just a couple minutes, so we're going to continue this next week. I'm sure there'll be more controversial calls with all the friendlies going on, the so-called friendlies, and then the big matches coming up on the weekend with back in the leagues again. So
just to make sure you bring up the situation with the tickets for the Flash, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you again next week. Have fun down in beautiful Miami.
Yeah, I'll be listening. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Joe Sirianni, the host of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on our show tonight. When we come back, we'll be joined by another member of our crack staff, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, with the International Report here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Greg Sutton, and you're listening to Soccer's Kick in the Grass.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Reserve your seat to all 15 exciting Rochester Rhinos home matches at Salem Stadium in 2012. Bowl season packages start at just $99 per person. That's less than $7 a match. Can't make all 15 home games? A Rhinos Flex Pack allows you to attend the games that fit your schedule. 5-game Flex Packs start at only $60. The Rhinos have ticket packages for every family budget. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to purchase your 2012 Rhinos tickets today.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins, official sponsor of the WPS.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Rochester Lancers are playoff bound. The Lancers will host the Baltimore Blast on Monday, March 12th at the Blue Cross Arena in the second match of the MISL Eastern Division Finals. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. Get your tickets for this all-important contest through Ticketmaster by visiting any Wegmans location or by calling the Lancers at 872-KICK. That's 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers at the Blue Cross Arena in their quest for the MISL title.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsburgh. The number to call is 248-2650. Go see Tony and Michelle at Northfield Commons in Pittsburgh. Get all your monogramming, your special soccer gear for the Lancers, for the U.S. national team. And if you need your soccer bags or soccer uniforms embroidered, that's the place to go, Top Notch Monogramming. Dick, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad. Welcome back. Hope you had a great holiday.
Oh, it was wonderful, I tell you. But you know what was interesting, Dick? When I was wearing, I brought my two LA Galaxy jerseys, my retro one from 1996, and of course the one with Mr. Beckham's name and number on the back. I got more comments from the Hawaiian people, the people at the hotel, about those jerseys, saying, you know, because they said all they talk about there is football. Hawaii, University of Hawaii football is the big sport there. And so, as I said, it was refreshing to see somebody wearing soccer gear. But there's a lot of fans out there, and they showed it in this invitational tournament they had last weekend. Over 10,000 fans at Loa Stadium.
Great. No, it's great. And hopefully you enlighten them about soccer as a kick in the grass. So spread the word. Keep the ball rolling.
Absolutely. Definitely. But I'll tell you, we're just 9 days away from one of the biggest matches in Toronto FC history and one of the biggest matches that's been this close to Rochester, the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinal between the Galaxy and Toronto FC. What's the latest information on the match, the attendance, and any news coming out of Toronto FC's camp?
Well, a lot of interest, of course. They're expecting a crowd close to 45,000. It might be even more because there's also a day of game sales. And, of course, the magic of David Beckham will work its wonders. So we'll see a crowd well into the 40,000, which will be one of the largest crowds, I think, ever to watch a game in Canada. And certainly a game of this nature is the largest crowd. They've had exhibition games at the old exhibition stadium, but this... I think we'll outdo all those. Tremendous interest and high expectations, of course, of Toronto FC, who are currently in Florida for the Walt Disney World Pro Soccer Classic.
That's right. L.A. has not done that well in preseason. They've lost a number of games, and, of course, they don't have Landon Donovan. Now, the question is Donovan is out of the U.S. friendly against Italy on Wednesday. Is he going to be ready? He's basically sick. He's not injured.
Yeah, well, he's got bronchitis, I think, hasn't he?
Right. So, I mean, hopefully, we want to see both teams at full strength, certainly, or maybe the Toronto FC fans don't want to see the Galaxy at full strength, but it's going to be a tremendous spectacle, and again, I'm hoping to be there if TFC will grant my press credential.
Well, we'll put in a good word for you, Andrew.
Oh, thank you, Dick. I appreciate that. It's going to be a great event.
Certainly tremendous interest, and then, of course, the Beckham syndrome, that's helping. Landon Donovan, of course, I'm sure the LA Galaxy fans have wanted him to be fit. But also Robbie Keane, of course, returns from a very good loan spell with Aston Villa in England. He was outstanding, scored some spectacular goals And Landon Donovan was Player of the Month with Everton. He's held in very high regard by David Moyes, the Everton manager. So that's great for the LA Galaxy. Toronto, only their second game, the one they played recently against the Orlando City franchise that you'll know well because they're in the OSL Pro League. And they scrambled to a 2-2 tie and didn't play particularly well in that game. Stefan Fry came up with some big saves to keep them in it. But last season, they traveled a lot. They went to Turkey, and this time around, Aaron Winter felt that it was just too much travel. So this was only their second exhibition game, whereas the LA, I think the recent win against Real Salt Lake was their seventh. So preparation different for the two teams, but a lot of pressure, of course, on TFC to get a good lead in that first leg.
Hey, Jake, let me ask you about Toronto. And I'm assuming that Aaron Winters is still coaching the team, and they're trying to bring in that kind of total football character to the team. Do you think that's ever going to bear any fruit? Or
it's a good
MLS
point, Sam, because it's the old analogy. You say, do you pick a team to suit the players or suit the players to your team? And with Aaron Winter, he wants to play the 4-3-3, the Dutch style of football, very offensively minded. And last year, he had a lot of square pegs trying to get into round holes, and it really didn't have the players. This time around, he's had the chance to scout players, bring players in, two new central defenders from South America. He's brought in additional players into the midfield. But it's really going to be a test for him because there was, at the end of the season, a lot of dissatisfaction, you know, with the results for Toronto FC. And I think the fact that they've got into this stage of the CONCACAF Champions League is standing them in good stead, but he needs to get some wins early on in the season and to do well in this competition because, say, it's you know, a critical audience. The fans in Toronto are very knowledgeable, and they weren't certainly happy at certain stages of the season last year.
You know, my personal opinion about total football is that as great as a theory and practicality in playing it, it only seems to succeed, and it at the very least seemed in an entertaining level, if every team has a Cruyff on the team, or now with Barcelona with a Messi on the team. Because with Barcelona, again, you're seeing the total football that Rijkaard brought in. But again, without Messi, I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy it. I remember the little that I can remember from my youth watching the total football with the Dutch team. When Cruyff was on the team doing his thing, it was very entertaining. When he wasn't there, it wasn't as entertaining. I'm just wondering if Aaron Winter is going to be looking for that Cruyff or Messi.
Well,
he
places a lot of faith and Torsten Frings, of course, very experienced German international, to run things in the midfield. And Danny Kovermans, a Dutch striker up front, did well when he joined the club midway through last season. I think a mentality, you've got to get players that are thinking on that and players coming through the system. And when you look at, the situation in Dutch football, and Ajax is no better example, they have players coming right the way through the system, and from young players being instructed early in their development stages, they get to understand what is required of players because each player has a number and a role to play in the team. And it's more difficult for an experienced player to adapt to that, and I think that was a problem that a lot of the players last year just couldn't adapt, whereas now, of course, he's brought players in, Toronto is establishing an academy to start the process with a lot younger players, so hopefully it will bear fruit in the years ahead. But it certainly had its teething problems and was work in progress last year.
Yeah, at least for the attendance there. For all those fans that come there, game in and game out, they really need to reward them with some winning games.
Well, that's
they can start off with a great result and a great performance against the top team in MLS. You look at LA Galaxy, outstanding coaching. Dave Sarchin, I'm sure, we're getting some extra tickets, Andrew, for all his fans. in the Rochester area, I'm sure.
There's definitely going to be some people coming up for that match. I know that you get a chance to see the best team in America, the LA Galaxy. There's no doubt about that. They proved it last year. But Toronto is certainly going to have the home field advantage, which they really need, playing in the Rogers Center. And, that, of course, with that dome closed, it's going to be loud. It's going to be very difficult for L.A. And I'm sure that the Galaxy would love to get out of there with a tie because they have not lost at home since 2010. So it's very hard to play at the Home Depot Center for any visiting team. So I know that's why this first leg is so critical for Toronto. But I know next week we hope to have Dave Sarakin on the show to talk more about this match. But before we let you go, a couple things we want to mention. The big matches coming up this Wednesday, some friendlies. We got England hosting the Netherlands at Wembley. That's going to be on Fox Soccer Channel. You got Germany and France. And, of course, Canada's got a big match against Armenia, getting ready for their World Cup qualifying campaign to continue.
Yeah, and basically Stephen Haar, the head coach of the Canadian national team, using basically Euro-based players. Julian de Guzman is the only one who's playing in North America, but an experienced squad, and it'll be a tough game because Armenia have done exceptionally well. They nearly qualified for Euros this year, and they've come on in leaps and bounds, so it will not be an easy game for Canada, even though it's played in a neutral side of Cyprus. And then, of course, you've got the Italy-USA game, which is attracting a lot of interest. And one interesting thing, Andrew, and you'll have this because you're so statistically minded, but it'll be great that the great Buffon will play his 113th game between the posts for Italy and beats Zeno Zoff's record of 112. And Dino Zoff is 70 years of age tomorrow. So
how about that? And
Dino, you know, I think Joe will be very happy with that, of course, and with the result that Juve got at the weekend.
Both those legendary keepers were played for Juventus, and Zoff was an unbelievable talent, and he was a true leader out there for the Italians that helped them to win the World Cup in 1982. And so it's going to be a great match to watch. I mean, of course, Michael Bradley plays in Italy for Chievo, so that's going to be – he'll be playing against a lot of people he's very familiar with. And I know that there's a lot of pressure on Italy to get a result in this match. They certainly don't want to lose to the U.S., but I still remember that match in 2006 with the 1-1 draw, that the only team besides France to hold Italy without a victory was the United States, and that was a brutal match with three red cards. So the U.S. certainly knows how to play against Italy, and even though the game's in Italy, I think it's going to be an excellent match. They've got a lot of great players, and it'd be interesting to see how Clint Dempsey does because I think he's going to be the man for the United States. He's done so well this year at Fulham, and he's the guy. I think if he can get some service, he's going to be very dangerous for the Italians.
I think you're spot on. I've been very impressed with Clint Dempsey, of course, and we'll have a chance to see him June 3rd when the USA play here in Toronto against Canada in a centennial game because Canada's celebrating its centennial this year in football, and it's a game that will attract a lot of interest. And again, I'm sure fans from the Rochester area, lots of sophisticated soccer fans we know who are coming and giving their support to the Lancers and then the Rhinos, and if you've got a chance to come up next week and then pencil in coming up on the 3rd of June for the USA game.
Well, again, I think it's the closest the U.S. men have played to Rochester ever, I believe, is this match. So it's certainly a great opportunity. I don't think you're ever going to see the men play here in Rochester unless they expand our stadium. But that's going to be a great match at BMO Field. I'm certainly got the dates penciled in on my calendar. And you know, we can have a little soccer as a kick in the grass confab. I'm sure Mr. Michael Lewis is coming up next. He'll probably be up in Toronto,
well,
depending on what's going on with the Red Bulls.
Can Michael, you know, he knows a few people, so I'm sure he'll be up for the game, that is for sure.
Well, Dick, thanks so much for being on the show. We'll talk to you again next week, and hopefully we'll have some new information about the big match next Wednesday.
Great. Looking forward to it, Andrew.
Thanks, Dick.
Good chatting to you, Sam. Bye for now.
Take care, Dick.
Dick Howard, live from Toronto here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And as we just mentioned, we'll be right back with former Rochester Lancers newspaper writer, one of the top soccer journalists in America, Michael Lewis. We'll be up next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
This is Hope Solo, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Proudly conservative. WYSL. You're listening to the new home of Michael Savage, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, WYSL, Avon, Rochester. Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Reserve your seat to all 15 exciting Rochester Rhinos home matches at Salem Stadium in 2012. Bowl season packages start at just $99 per person. That's less than $7 a match. Can't make all 15 home games? A Rhinos Flex Pack allows you to attend the games that fit your schedule. 5-game Flex Packs start at only $60. The Rhinos have ticket packages for every family budget. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to purchase your 2012 Rhinos tickets today.
Is your family growing and it's time to move up to your next home? You can afford to build your next home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? Faber homes are in communities with good schools, parks, and the conveniences your family needs. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta. And coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes. Great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Score big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins, official sponsor of the WPS.
The Rochester Lancers are playoff bound. The Lancers will host the Baltimore Blast on Monday, March 12th at the Blue Cross Arena in the second match of the MISL Eastern Division Finals. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. Get your tickets for this all-important contest through Ticketmaster by visiting any Wegmans location or by calling the Lancers at 872-KICK. That's 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers at the Blue Cross Arena in their quest for the MISL title.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
This is a new one. We usually do Frank Sinatra with Michael Lewis, but hey, the Manhattan transfer is cool as well. This is Andrew Battisti, and Soccer is a Kick in the Grass with Sam Mongiovi. And joining us now is one of the all-time great writers in soccer. He still is, as a matter of fact. Of course, he covered the Rochester Lancers back in the 70s, all the way to the end of the franchise in 1980. Been in New York ever since, covers soccer for his websites, BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com. Happy to have Michael Lewis join us once again. And Michael's appearance brought to you by Allstate Insurance agent Edso Scolo. Give him a call at 244-2130 or go to his website at ScoloInsuranceAgencies.com. Michael, how you doing? How's New York treating you?
I'm very well, thank you. A very un-Rochester-like winter here this year. Can't complain, though. It's been warmer than normal.
How about that? I'll tell you, well, we wanted to bring you on for a couple reasons here tonight. First thing is that thanks to Jeff DeVeronica pointing it out in his blog at thedemocraticchronicle.com. You recently wrote an article on Big Apple Soccer about Bronco Sagota and comparing him to Lin Mania that's going on in New York right now with Jeremy Lin of the New York Knicks. And it's very interesting because back in 78, I mean, back then really the focus of the New York soccer crowd was the Cosmos. That was the, you know, the great side that they had at that time. But the Arrows were just getting their first matches under their belt, and here's this 17-year-old from Canada who was lighting it up for the Arrows. So tell us about the article and how you see the comparison between Lin and Sagota.
Well, you know, first of all, we should remember that we lived in it back in 1978, 79. It was a different era then in terms of getting news out. I don't think the Internet was much of a gleam in anyone's eye at the time, and my Internet happened to be by going to Worldwide News or whatever store I could find and buying the New York Times, New York Daily News, New York Post, et cetera, from out of town. And I think what I'm saying is information and news moved a lot slower. So when you had someone such as a Bronco Sagota who did so well, you know, people heard about it, but you couldn't find out as much information outside of Rochester. Inside Rochester, you know, we skyrocketed from quote-unquote nowhere. I think we all knew he had the potential to be a good player, a very good player. He had decent speed and a booming shot that gave more than one goalkeeper a black eye. But I think it took a lot longer for the soccer community to know about Bronco Sagota than the rest of the world did with Jeremy Lin, just because there's, you know, every basketball game's on cable. You have 24/7 cable all the time. You've got the Internet and whatnot. I guess that's the comparing and contrasting of the two. Saying that, we obviously didn't know at the time that was the closest thing we had to incredible soccer in Rochester.
It was amazing. I mean, I went to every match in 79, and there was a buzz in this city with Sagota that we hadn't seen since Lancer Mania back in 77. That really didn't kick in until the playoffs. This was the second half of the regular season. We had some of the biggest teams in the NASL coming in here. The LA Aztecs with Johan Cruyff. We had the Strikers with Gerd Müller. And it's funny, they both scored, I believe, in those matches, but Sagota scored double. These two legendary scoring machines from Europe. And this is 18-year-old kid from Canada who is just taken over the scoring race. I mean, if he played a full season and forward for the Lancers that year, he would have led the NASL in scoring, I believe.
I think you're absolutely right. At the time, Mike Stojanovic was having trouble putting the ball into the net, and they moved him to the right flank. And right flank up front, these were the days when they actually used three forwards in a game. Not when I say right flank now, that people might think, oh, he played right midfield. No, this was when they used, it was a 4-3-3 system. And they made Sagota the center forward, and it worked out very, very well, even though Stoli did not like being out of the spotlight and being out of the middle. He went out and worked hard and crossed the ball into Sagota as much as he could. And that was a devastating combination down the stretch. It's 33 years ago. I don't remember every game, but it was something that's coming back to me, saying that I just don't believe this is happening. An 18-year-old kid being able to score in the NASL against some, you know, high quality teams, goalkeepers, and the problem is that, you know, he was a victim of his own hype, I guess, or his own success, because the next year we all expected the same. Maybe not. I think out of the 9 games he started, he scored 14, I mean, which is a ridiculous rate for anyone. But I think, you know, people were expecting probably close to a goal a game from him, and we all know what happened with the 1980 team the ownership problems, coaching change, Sagota not getting along with the new coach, Alex Paroli. And by the time the year ended, he had 10 goals and 6 assists, which if you're a 19-year-old in any league and you're scoring 10 goals and assisting 6 others in 30 games, that's not too shabby at all. But, again, the expectations were so ridiculously great that I think we all consider that to be a disappointing year. Again, putting into perspective now, 32 years later after 1980, The thing about Franco Sagota's career is that he had a nice long career. It lasted 20 years, which you don't see. Unfortunately, he didn't get an opportunity to play as much outdoor soccer as he would have liked in his prime. He did finish, 13th in NASL scoring on the all-time scoring list. But we never know what he could have done even beyond that because the NASL went out of business and he wound up playing indoors. Nothing wrong about that, but it would have been interesting to see how far the Canadian team would have gone with all their players playing in NASL. They didn't have an opportunity to play after the 1985 season. Sorry for rambling on so much.
That's okay. It was a great time, and it was great seeing Bronco and showing him some of the old programs back when he was back in November when he came in for the Lancer Hall of Fame ceremony. And by the way, they're going to be officially unveiling the Wall of Fame on the Monday, March 12th at the playoff game against the Baltimore Blast. But Michael, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and Sam's with us too here, you know, to talk, but there's a big situation going on with the goalkeepers for the Red Bulls. I mean, they've dropped Bode Kondul and Greg Sutton, who were the keepers last year. And now we have a rookie, Ryan Miro, who I believe was from Fordham, if I remember the press release right. And then this gentleman, Jeremy Vuolo, who was in his senior year played for Syracuse and the previous 3 years played for Hartwick. I mean, he's a local kid. But right now I'm very surprised that the Red Bulls have not gone on and gotten an experienced keeper at this point. What do you hear about that?
You're not the only one. They say they'd like to bring in an experienced keeper, probably an American. Although I don't see many American goalkeepers out there that they could bring in at the present time. Bolo and Mira have played very well in the exhibition games, the friendlies that they started, and that's encouraging. You know, Bolo has 1 year pro experience. Vera has none. And even for the best goalkeeper, there's always a learning curve. As Mira told me in an interview last week, there's so much a goalkeeper has to learn. And when you're going from college to Major League Soccer, the game is a lot quicker. Decisions have to be made so much quicker. Yes, you have better defenders in front of you, but you've got better attacking players coming at you. That doesn't mean you can't do well, but generally, again, rookies have this learning curve, and it's not fair to expect great things out of these two. Anything they can get out of them is great, but I think just looking at things in a sane, dispassionate way, I think the team needs an experienced goalkeeper. I think any team that wants to be successful in virtually any league needs someone who's been around for a couple of years. Until they get one, that's got to be a question mark, unless the two aforementioned keepers that I talked about, play out of their skin. It'll be intriguing to see what transpires.
Mike, in regards to the Red Bulls, I can tell you my expectation, or hope at least for Hans Bach, the coach, is that he plays Juan Agudelo much more than he did last year. What do you feel is the expectation, or what do you hear is the expectation for Hans Bach for this season?
Hans Bach, he says that he'd like to play him more, but of course, the problem with Agudelo, and I said that the team should have put out an APB, all points bulletin on him during the last part of the season in the playoffs because he wasn't getting enough playing time. But the problem with for him this year is that he's going to be away from the team because of one Olympic qualifying. He'll be gone for at least a week, probably 2 weeks, in March and April. And if the team does qualify, then you might as well say goodbye to him for at least a month during the season. And that doesn't include some, you know, national team games and whatnot. So I don't think he's necessarily going to get as much playing time. Right now, the two top forwards are Thierry Henry, of course, coming off his very successful loan stint with Arsenal, and Kenny Cooper, whom the team obtained in a trade with the Portland Timbers. I think they're going to be the two main guys at the moment. I just see Agudelo coming off the bench. I just don't think Agudelo was given enough playing time last year for someone who is in the national team pool.
Why do you think that is, Mike? What's your feeling, or you know, what happened that he wasn't given more playing time last year?
Boy, you know, there's just so many rumors going around. You know, I just don't think Baki thought he deserved to get that playing time. You know, just take a look at many younger players on the team. They just did not get very much playing time. Tim Ream was the exception at central at center back, but every other position was taken up by a veteran player of at least 3-4 years. I say at least 3 or 4 years, if not more. And I just don't think the Red Bulls are in a position to be patient with young players to develop them, to let them grow. And like it or not, as much talent and potential and upside that Juan Agudelo has, they're going to play veterans over him, like it or not. One other striker I did not mention, and we don't know if he's going to be back or not because we're still waiting on whether his visa is going to be approved, is Luke Rogers. The team had something like a 9-3-3 record with him in the lineup last year, which was exceptional. I might be off. I might have forgotten a couple of ties near the end of the year, but they won much more than they lost with him in the lineup. So the thing is, he's had trouble getting his visa renewed, and he would definitely be in the mix as a center forward. But he's a question mark on whether or not he's going to return. But going back to your original question, I would like to see Agudelo play more. I think he is someone who, if he's good enough to play, you know, to be in the national team pool and the under-23 pool, he should be playing more. Simple as that.
Michael, we have to run. We got to get John Ball on the show. We're talking about the Lancers, who made the playoffs this past week. So it's big event. Big congratulations to them. But thanks very much for coming on. We'll have you on again real soon when we get the MLS season going in just a couple of weeks' time.
Hey, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it as always.
Take care, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Bye bye. Michael Lewis here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll be joined by Rochester and indoor soccer legend John Ball of the playoff-bound Rochester Lancers here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM at 1040 AM and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
This is Dave Sarek, and I listen to Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL with Joe, my good friend. Longing to stray.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
New Way Auto Parts, with six locations in the Rochester area, is your full-service auto parts store, servicing both wholesale and retail customers. New Way Auto Parts is the first choice for local repair shops and dealers for over 50 years. Shop where the pros do at New Way Auto Parts. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HahnAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Do you ever count people talking on their cell phones while driving? It's pretty scary. But what about scary behavior you can't see? A recent study says that 1 in 7 drivers doesn't have car insurance. If one hits you, are you covered? Don't hope so. Know so. Call an Allstate agent today for a free Good Hands coverage checkup. Are you in good hands?
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today at 244-2130. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Reserve your seat to all 15 exciting Rochester Rhinos home matches at Salem Stadium in 2012. Bowl season packages start at just $99 per person. That's less than $7 a match. Can't make all 15 home games? A Rhinos Flex Pack allows you to attend the games that fit your schedule. 5-game Flex Packs start at only $60. The Rhinos have ticket packages for every family budget. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to purchase your 2012 Rhinos tickets today.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
The Rochester Lancers are playoff bound. The Lancers will host the Baltimore Blast on Monday, March 12th at the Blue Cross Arena in the second match of the MISL Eastern Division Finals. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. Get your tickets for this all-important contest through Ticketmaster by visiting any Wegmans location or by calling the Lancers at 872-KICK. That's 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers at the Blue Cross Arena in their quest for the MISL title.
Soccer Sam for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
And welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battista here with Sam Mongiovi. Real quick, just want to mention Western New York Flash tickets go on sale next Friday, March 9th at Salem Stadium. We'll have more information on that next week. And also, big news today, Alex Morgan officially signed with the Seattle Sounders women, joining Hope Solo with the team, and also Sydney LaRue and her boyfriend who plays for the Seattle Sounders men. So there'll be no Alex Morgan in town this coming season. But let's go to the Lancers, and let's bring in legendary defender, midfielder, forward. He's played all the positions, I think even goalie once in a while. John Ball joins us. John's appearance brought to you by the Lancers. The MISL Eastern Division Final second leg will be Monday, the 12th of March at 7 p.m. against the Baltimore Blast. Call 872-KICK for tickets. John, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. My pleasure.
No problem. And congratulations to the team. I was at the game Thursday night. What a tremendous effort put forth. You guys were biting and clawing and scratching for every loose ball. And I tell you, in that overtime period, you know, Maurizio got the 3-point goal, but you set up that power play by drawing a foul, and you had a great match. And just tell us about what the feeling is with the team, knowing now you guys are in the playoffs and you've got 2 weeks to prepare for Baltimore.
That's the good thing. The good thing is we got 2 weeks to prepare, and I know Billy and Jimmy are going to have the boys ready, and, you know, to go into Baltimore, which in playoff time is really a tough place to play. And, you know, it's nice to have the second game at home and the mini game, which, you know, hopefully we don't come to. But, you know, if it does, it'll be nice to have. We just got to go out and prepare properly and, you know, everything, hopefully the chips fall our way.
Well, John, also happened this weekend, the second match with Wichita, I tell you, that seemed more like a playoff-type match. It was played at a little slower pace, but a lot of defense, a lot of possession soccer. And I think with Baltimore, the last couple matches we played against them were both low-scoring affairs in Baltimore. So is that what you anticipate for the playoffs, defensive tight marking and trying to get the goals will be at a premium?
Yeah, the goals in the playoffs are hard to come by. You know, I think yesterday's game was, you know, not to take any away from Wichita, but I think they kind of gave up, you know. And, you know, I mean, we're sitting there. We could have held the ball at our yellow line all game long if we want, and they didn't pressure at all. And I think against Baltimore, it's going to be the complete opposite. I think they're going to high pressure, come after you, especially at home. They got to, you know, they got to come out and get that win. So I'm thinking of a fast-tempo, high-paced game, and the team that can handle the pressure of the playoffs will do a lot better.
That's going to be tough. And, of course, with yourself and Doug Miller and Chile and Ray Martinez and Maurizio, all veterans of the indoor game, I think it's going to be a big factor for the Lancers. Now, the other thing I want to ask you is, coming up again this week, obviously, we're all concerned about Doug Miller and Jeremy Ortiz, their status, and the other injured players. What is going on with them? At this point, do we anticipate seeing them for the playoffs?
Dougie, I think he's a calf strain. Hopefully, you know, age isn't a factor with the healing process, you know. I just hope, you know, Dougie can, you know, take it easy as much as he can. I know it's going to be hard with his club and all his commitments that he has, but, you know, Dougie's a professional, and he'll do what the necessary steps are to get himself back on the field. You know, I mean, if we don't have Dougie in game one, I'd love to have him in game two because he would be a huge weapon in game two.
Well, John, we have to cut you off because we're running out of time. We hear the music in the background. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you 2 weeks from tonight at the Blue Cross Arena and in the second leg against Baltimore. Thanks so much and congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. John Ball here on Soccer is a Kicker. I just want to thank John and Eric Trendle from the Lancers. Of course, Michael Lewis for joining us, and Dick Howard and Joe Sirianni for calling in as well. This has been Andrew Battisti with Sam Mongiovi and Bob D'Angelo down at the WYSL Controls. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Have a good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salem's Meat Products, Faber Homes, New Way Auto Parts, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.